KXRW Original Programming and Flick Fix present a special episode of Flick Fix with guest host Jen Coyne of Authenticity Matters. In this episode, Jen interviews the directors of the documentary The Dawn of Tiki.
Who is Don Beach?
He's the granddaddy Tiki.
I don't know what I'd be doing if Don hadn't opened his place. Definitely be doing something else, that's for sure.
It's the whole concept of escapism. All that themed architecture and that fully immersive experience, that all started with Don.
Who is Don Beach? I don't have the slightest idea. He was playing a character.
He's an impresario. He's associating with Hollywood people.
There's a little mystery, there's a little intrigue, bootlegging.
All of a sudden, we had liquor back. I developed rum drinks.
He thought of drinks in a way that nobody had.
He's the inventor of the craft cocktail.
They tasted like nothing anybody had had before.
He started creating secrecy in recipes.
Mix number one, mix number two. So nobody knew exactly what those mixes were.
I don't think it would have been a successful business without my mother.
So did Don marry Sonny because they were in love or because she suddenly owned his business?
She gave half of the shares to the mob. They became half of the company.
They said, Don, this is what's going to happen and you're going to like it.
It's crazy. It is the craziest story.
Don's legacy is everywhere. A lot of our cocktails are all Don the Beachcomber cocktails.
The legacy is just like, do you? There was no template for the kind of lifestyle that he was attempting to live.
Well, let's have another drink.
Welcome to this special episode of Flick Fix on KXRW. I'm your host, Jen, and today I'm talking to Alex Lamb and Max Well, the directors of The Dawn of Tiki. We're very fortunate to have a special screening of the film in Vancouver, Washington, on August 18th, that's a Monday, at Kiggins Theater in downtown on Main Street. The screening is at 6:30, and we'll include a director Q&A after the film. As you heard in the trailer, The Dawn of Tiki tells the life story of Ernest Raymond Gant, known more famously as Don Beach. Don Beach is considered the founding father of tiki culture and what we now know as Polynesian pop. From the drinks to the bars that served them and the lifestyle aesthetic of tropical escapism, Don had a hand in it. It's very exciting for me to have the opportunity to interview the directors of the film, as I've enjoyed immersing myself in tropical escapism for the better part of 30 years. From the first exposures of traveling to Hawaii as a teenager, to hanging out at the Alibi in North Portland in the late 90s onward, my appreciation of this cultural movement and the community involved in it has grown over the decades. In addition to visiting over 140 commercial tiki bars worldwide, I treasure the circle of friends, or tiki ohana, I've built throughout the years as well. I've watched many, many videos and documentaries related to tiki over the years, and I have to say that The Dawn of Tiki is a top-notch film that in my mind not only appeals to those interested in tiki, but also history, especially of the early to mid 20th century, as well as the craft cocktail culture foundations that were built after Prohibition. Let's learn more about the film and Don Beach in this interview with the Dawn of Tiki directors, Alex Lamb and Max Well. Welcome, and welcome to this special edition of Flick Fix, actually. I am really excited to welcome the directors of the film, Alex and Max. Tell me a little bit about The Dawn of Tiki and what's the movie all about?
Yeah, well, the film is about the life of Don the Beachcomber, who is really the founder of the tiki bar in the 1930s. He opened a little bar in Hollywood and started making these rum cocktails that are still made and enjoyed today.
And what can people expect to see? Because it's kind of a multimedia sort of a film.
Yeah. So, go ahead, Max.
Yeah, so it's
a little bit unconventional in some regards. We do have more traditional interview footage of kind of talking heads and a mix of archival footage and photos. In addition to that, we have 2D animation in various styles throughout the film, as well as stop motion animation.
Yeah, the so you have stop motion animation of Don, and was that archival footage of his audio?
Yes, that was an interview Don did a couple years before he died. Was that, when was that recorded, Max? In like 80?
I think it was 1986 in Honolulu.
Yeah, it was recorded as part of an oral history project that Hawaii was doing. And we had found the transcripts for this, and at the bottom of each page of the transcript, it would say like tape two, side A. And we were like, well, these tapes must exist somewhere. We were told, you're probably not going to find those tapes by a lot of people in the tiki community.
Right.
And we reached out to a few people at the Hawaiian college, and they were able to pull up the, they found the tapes, they had them. They digitized them for us. I think it cost about $14 or something like that. And they sent us the files, and that was the first time we had heard Don's voice, you know, and yeah. We were like, well, this is really cool. Now we have to figure out a way to see him. And that's kind of where the stop motion came in.
Right. I think that it was really well done. Who and why should people come see the movie?
Well, one of the reasons we made this film is that when we started learning about who Don Beach was as a person, he's one of these guys who had about three lifetimes worth of adventure in his one life. And I think, you know, you're going to go through Don's stories, creating the Tiki Bar as we know it today. He was involved in rum running during the days of Prohibition. He served in World War II. You know, he was instrumental in the development of the tourism industry in Hawaii. You know, you sort of go down the list, and it's just a fascinating life to learn about. That I think is appealing to everybody. And there's, you know, there's kind of classic old Hollywood in there. So there's a little something for everyone, whether you're a history buff or a cocktail buff, or even vaguely interested to learn a little bit about the origins of tiki culture.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting. You know, Don's perspective sort of on Polynesian culture, Polynesian pop. What kind of experience was he trying to create when he created his first venues?
Definitely exotic. He was very into, you know, bringing people an experience that they probably wouldn't be able to experience in their own lives. So we kind of like to say that Don's original bar was very autobiographical, because the things on the walls were things from his trips, things that he gathered and traded and found. And back in the 30s, you know, it was very rare for people to be able to travel to all of these places. So it was kind of this experience where he was trying to create an authentic experience that you could go and pretend you were in these places, because it wasn't very realistic that you were ever going to get to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was his relationship was really interesting, and sort of, you know, capitalizing on and having that entrepreneurial spirit around building these experiences while still being appreciative and respectful of the cultural aspects that he was sort of profiting on. Was that something that came up in the building of the film when you were doing the interviews and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, it was, there was something that we knew was going to be an important part of the film. You know, the film, as it developed and grew, and we kind of figured out the story we were telling, it really became more biographical in nature. So it's really a story about Don Beach's life, not so much about tiki in general.
Right.
one of the things that we did learn was his attention to detail and, you know, really kind of authenticity, which was a huge part of the experience that he was trying to present. You know, we recognize making the film that historically tiki bars have had depictions of indigenous people that were perhaps less than flattering and, you know, have used some religious iconography and other things like that. And I think, you know, you kind of look back at the context of the time period and
right.
I think we can look at that and learn from it and move forward. But
right.
And yeah, our focus was really on Don Beach's life for this film.
Yeah, it was really interesting. On that note, how did you choose who was going to be interviewed for the film? It was being immersed in the community as I am, like there were a lot of familiar faces. I'm just wondering how you picked the people that got involved in it.
We really cast a very wide net. You know, we started just reaching out to everyone that we had read books from or that we had, you know, gone to their bars. And most people were very excited about it and wanted to be part of it. One of the things that we did early on is something that another documentarian had recommended to us, which is just start filming. So before we had any money, you know, we were in LA and we filmed Marie King at Tonga Hut. We filmed the Buins at Tiki T, and we filmed Adrian at his Adrian Eustachio at his home bar, the Desert Oasis Room. And we kind of started cutting it together. And then it became a thing where everybody wanted to be in the film as opposed to us having to reach out to people. People were more excited to kind of reach out to us and be like, hey, I have all this stuff. Do you want to see it? Do you want to talk to me? You know,
you get that phone call from Sven Kirsten and he says he wants to be a part of it.
No, Sven was somebody that we reached out to early on. We knew we needed Sven. But shooting and editing those interviews did help us because it showed people that we kind of knew what we were doing and it kind of showed the tone of what we were trying to do. So it made it a little bit easier to pitch to people, you know, some of the bigger names like Sven and Jeff Berry. And once I think they were able to see like, okay, that, you know, these aren't two guys shooting this on their iPhone. I think it became a little bit easier to get people to agree to do interviews. The other big thing is that we interviewed a lot of people who knew Don. That was important. We wanted to find anybody we could that was, you know, a family member or somebody that worked for him. And there were a lot of ways we did that. Our connection with Tim Glasner, who's writing a book about Don, that actually came through Phoebe, Don's widow. We met Phoebe and she introduced us to Tim. And then Tim started getting us in touch with Don's nephews and Don's and Sonny's daughter and these people who could give us firsthand accounts, whereas everybody else was kind of just repeating stories they heard, which after you watch the film, you realize, you know, there's a lot of these stories that have just been told over and over and people accept them as fact. But until you talk to these people who actually knew Don and who were there, that's when you start uncovering what really happened.
Yeah, I liked how one of the folks said something like, here's the stories I've been told. You should probably make a documentary about it, you know, clear the air on this stuff. I'm Jen Coyne from KXRW's Authenticity Matters, hosting a special edition of Flick Fix this month in anticipation of the local screening of The Dawn of Tiki at the Kiggins Theater. I've been talking to the movie's directors, Alex Lamb and Max Well, about the origins of the film. We're going to take a break and listen to some messages from our sponsors. You're listening to KXRW 99.9 FM.
Programming like this is made possible by support from High Five Cannabis, your local cannabis connection in Vancouver and Stevenson, Washington. High Five offers flower, concentrates, edibles, tinctures, topicals, and more. Whether you're new to cannabis or know what you need, their staff is available to assist. If you go to highfivecannabis.com, spelled H-I-G-H, the number 5, cannabis.com, you can learn about their specials like Munchy Monday, Senior Tuesdays, Waxy Wednesdays, and Loyalty Thursdays. Again, that's highfivecannabis.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver six or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
Welcome to a special edition of Flick Fix on KXRW Vancouver 99.9 FM. I'm your host, Jen Coyne, and today my guests are Alex Lamb and Max Well, the directors of The Dawn of Tiki, a feature-length documentary about the storied life of Ernest Raymond Gant, better known as Don Beach of Don the Beachcombers. There were a lot of things in there that I didn't know. Like, I heard the lore, right, and the stories, but there was so much color and depth and just aspects of the storyline. I went to an international marketplace when I was a kid and remember seeing the hut and everything. And then I've also been back now that it's this completely commercialized area that does have that tribute area for Don, which is really cool. So I knew those aspects of it, but there were some things that surprised me, which I won't spoil it for people that want to go see it. Was there anything that was, you know, without giving away too much of the storyline, anything that surprised you as you went through the process?
Yeah. For me, or go ahead, Max, what surprised you?
Sorry, I muted myself for a second there. I mean, one of the things that I really did not know going into this at all was Don's just influence on the Hawaiian tourism industry. I mean, right. When you go to Hawaii today and you think about going to a luau and getting a lei around your neck and listening to Hawaiian music and seeing hula dancing, like so much of that is really due to Don's influence. You know, he was in Hawaii in the 40s and 50s when the, you know, commercial tourism industry really started there. And he had a huge hand in what we think of when we go to Hawaii today.
Yeah, something that was really added to that, the complex nature of the story for the whole community, actually, beyond Don, which is, you know, there were folks, you know, islanders who spoke in the movie that said, the inclusion that he had in making it authentic and bringing in people that were indigenous to Hawaii almost helped in the preservation effort of their culture, which was something that, you know, I often thought like, oh gosh, you know, you had America came over and said, we want you to be a state, and it could have become this very homogenized tourist experience. And yet he contributed to preserving some of the important aspects of their culture. At least that's what I took away from it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's complicated. Yeah, it's very complicated. And, you know, Hawaii was annexed by the U.S. in the late 1800s. And, you know, we wouldn't have, I mean, Don had a part certainly in helping that culture kind of survive. You know, it shouldn't have had to have happened that way.
Correct. Right. That's why I say it's very deep and complicated, but there are some interesting aspects to the storyline that you go into. Alex, was there something that surprised you?
I think I was also surprised by sort of the travel and cultural aspect of Hawaii. That was something that I think neither of us knew going in. The other thing that always takes me by surprise is, you know, we've seen this movie many times at lots of different screenings, and Phoebe, Don's widow, has this line about how the tiki thing would not sit well on Don's palate. And I think it's such an interesting thing to think about how there is this, you know, culture, or quote unquote culture, some, you know, of tiki fans, and they all kind of idolize Don as the godfather of tiki, and a lot of things that tiki has become today are not necessarily aligned with Don's values or what he was trying to do. And that's something that I found very interesting and did not know going in.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of that does have to do with the authenticity that he was kind of obsessed with. And, you know, obviously he was a businessman and he was there to make money, but he was obsessed with authenticity and kind of had this respect for the culture that is sometimes there and sometimes not, depending on what kind of tiki bar you go to, you know.
For sure, for sure. I know that we'll have, at the screening coming up, we'll have a lot of craft cocktail connoisseurs, experts that do really care about that, the quality and the complexity that he was trying to do back then.
Yeah.
So that will be a fun aspect of it. So speaking of which, let's talk a little bit about the screening coming up here in Vancouver, Washington on August 18th. It's going to be at the Higgins Theater, which is in downtown Vancouver. It's a really quaint, great local venue. And tell us a little bit more about the event. I know you're planning to do a Q&A.
Yeah, so at least one of us will be there for the Q&A. We're hoping that we can both get there. It's a little tricky on a Monday night, but
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, typically we do a brief intro to the film to give people who don't know anything about it just a little snippet of context. And then after the movie, we do about a 15 to 20 minute Q&A. And, you know, we're always surprised at some of the questions that people have. Sometimes it's the same stuff we've heard before, but sometimes there's something that kind of throws us for a little bit of we get a little bit of a curveball, but it's really fun to interact with people and get their responses to the film. So we're going to have the event. I think the screening is at 6:30 that day.
That sounds right. 6:30 on the 18th. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're also working with the folks at the Coral Club, which is close by the theater. And we're going to have some sort of partnership with them. And we don't know if there's going to be an after party exactly or drinks or something, but details to follow on that.
Little gathering at Coral Club afterwards, maybe some walk up to Wahihana. We've got a great quality tiki bars in the area. If you have time, Halapele is one of the top ones that Martin Kate, actually, who's featured in the film, is an owner of.
Absolutely.
So terrific place. So yeah, 6:30 on the 18th, you can get tickets in advance online at the Higgins Theater and their website. And I'll provide more details on that at the KXRW show page for Flick Fix. And anything else that we need to know about y'all or about the film? What do you have coming up next?
Well, okay, so we're in the middle of this roadshow tour that we're calling it. It's a national theatrical screening tour with the film. So we're going to play probably in about 25 cities. We started a couple of months ago and we'll continue through October at least of this year, possibly into November. And so what we've been doing is taking the film around from city to city, and we do a screening, and typically we work with a local tiki bar and connect with the community there. It's been a really fun way to share Don's story and also just get folks together to have a good time. We hope that people will come out to the film, maybe learn a few things, and maybe laugh, maybe cry.
I cried at the end. I cried.
Oh, good. We love hearing that.
Yeah.
We love hearing that.
Especially when you get into Phoebe's story, it was very moving.
Yeah, we feel like she really grounds the film. She really brings it home at the end. And she's she's the last person alive who knew Don very closely on a personal level.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we were so happy that she agreed to be part of the project.
Well, I know as someone who appreciates the tiki culture so much, we are very excited. I also host a show on KXRW called Authenticity Matters. So I almost feel like this could be a part of that as well because of that authentic story. So we're really thrilled to have y'all come up. I know you'll get a warm welcome, and we'll look forward to seeing you there.
Awesome. We're so excited. It's going to be really fun.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's going to be a great time.
Thanks.
You're listening to Flick Fix on KXRW 99.9 FM. We're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be back in a moment to wrap things up.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian, proud to be Southwest Washington's leading news source. Since 1920, the Campbell family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
KXRW is supported by founding partners Morrell Inc. Print and Marketing. Since 1993, Morrell Inc. has offered high-quality, creative, and innovative solutions from their women-owned, union-staffed, state-of-the-art print shop. Morrell Inc.'s experienced staff uses the latest technology to solve clients' marketing needs and within their budget. Find Morrell Inc. at morrellinc.com. That's MORELINK.com.
Thanks so much for joining this special episode of Flick Fix on KXRW 99.9 FM. I'm Jen Coyne from Authenticity Matters, and guest hosting on Flick Fix for this interview with Alex Lamb and Max Well, the directors of The Dawn of Tiki. It's been so great to have an opportunity to screen the film and learn more about the backstory of the creation of the film, as well as its feature characters. The Dawn of Tiki will be screening at 6:30 p.m. on August 18th at Vancouver's own historic Kiggins Theater, located at 1011 Main Street in downtown Vancouver. There will be a director Q&A after the film, and some fun gatherings at Vancouver's local tiki bars after the show. Tickets are available at KigginsTheater.com. Whether you are into tropical escapism, craft cocktails, or a history buff, I hope to see you there.